This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. And of course, we'll be talking about the big game tonight, Michigan State, Boise State, and the other Big Ten games. So we'll cover all the Big Ten for you, and we'll look ahead to the Detroit Lions. They just finished one, so they've got to look forward to next week, to the season opener. But we'll talk a lot of sports today, and our first guest is Bob Winowski, the columnist for the Detroit News. So give us a call if you'd like to talk with Bob at 432-9527, or call us at 355-9527, or call us toll-free at 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's bring our good friend Bob Winowski. Bob, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Getting ready for this big game tonight. I assume you're coming up for it tonight.
Well, I actually have to go and watch those Tigers continue their collapse against the White Sox in the gigantic baseball series.
Yeah, can I tell you, that last three-game series with Kansas City was quite a surprise that they lost 1-0, 2-1. I mean, getting swept by Kansas City, I never would have thought would happen.
Although the Tigers have done that before, but I'm kind of offended that the Tigers are encroaching on our start of the college football season, which, as you know, Earl, is my favorite time of year. But, of course, the Tigers-White Sox series falls on the opening weekend of college football.
Yes, it does, and hopefully they can beat the White Sox. I mean, the White Sox has been holding on all season long. A lot of us thought they would fade. Sometime they would fade, but they haven't faded all year long. So I assume they're going to be here right to the bitter end.
Well, they haven't. The White Sox haven't faded, but I mean, they have at times. They just lost 3 or 4 in Baltimore while the Tigers were getting swept by Kansas City, but you're right. Anybody that was expecting the White Sox to pull what the Indians did last year and just completely collapse, that's not happening. I would say about once a week, it sounds like it's time to bury the Tigers because they look so bad, especially offensively. But you watch this weekend against the White Sox. You know, they've got their big guns on the mound, as does Chicago. And, you know, if they take 2 of 3, which is certainly possible, then it's a 2-game difference with a month to go, and it'll go right down to the wire.
You know, Bob, that's what I look at. I look at, you know, the end of the season. They finish with Minnesota and Kansas City in those last 12 games. I keep thinking, they'll probably win 10 out of the last 12 and just win the division going away. I might be wrong about that.
Well, right, because Kansas City is such a pushover.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. Earl, I agree with you. I've looked at it that way. And Chicago down the stretch, I know they have a series against Tampa Bay and the Angels, much tougher opponents than the Tigers will be facing. But you know what, you can't play the schedule game in baseball, because like you said, did you really think the Tigers were going to get swept at 3 one-run games in Kansas City?
I didn't either.
Who knows what's going to happen this weekend? If the White Sox were to sweep the Tigers this weekend, they'd have a 6-game lead, and that would be probably
pretty
close to the depth now. But but if the Tigers sweep them, it's tied.
That's right. So well, we can worry about baseball later. Let's talk a little football right now. It's our season. Boise State, Michigan State tonight. Of course, I've got to give the Spartans the nod in this one. But, boy, I tell you, Bob, there's so many unknowns about Boise. I mean, it's very, very uncomfortable, going into the Boise State game, because you just don't know that much about them.
I think that's the correct word to use right there, Earl, is uncomfortable, because it certainly looks on paper that Michigan State should handle them. Michigan State's experienced defense, and even though Michigan State has a new quarterback, obviously, he's been in the program. Boise State, lost 9 of their defensive starters and new quarterback. But it's only a 7-point spread, and I think that's about right, because you've got to give Boise State and Chris Peterson their props that they have recruited better over the years. They probably do have some good players to plug in. We just don't know. And you know he's going to pull some wacky stuff out of his bag of tricks, as they always do. So, yeah, I would say it's uncomfortable is the right word.
Yes, and then, of course, we got the tomorrow night's game, Alabama and Michigan, and all you hear is that Alabama's going to beat Michigan State, Michigan up front. They've got better offensive and defensive linemen, and that's where they're going to kill Michigan at. But, you know, Michigan does have Denard Robinson, so they've got a great X factor on them. So that's going to be an interesting game as well.
Well, I do. It will. It should be. It could be an interesting game. I do think Alabama will beat Michigan up front. But Michigan's back seven. You know, its linebackers are back. Its entire secondary is back. And Denard Robinson is the X, Y, and Z factor. And, you know, I went back and looked at some stats, and as great as Alabama's defense has been under Nick Saban, you know, like a lot of defenses, it has struggled at times against dual-threat quarterbacks.
Sure.
Not that there's a ton of them in the SEC, but, you know, Cam Newton and the like. You can run a little misdirection and get Alabama chasing its tail a little bit. They do have a lot of new players on defense. That said, I think Michigan will hang for a while, and Alabama will end up winning by, you know, what most people are saying, two touchdowns or so.
Yeah, that'll be pretty good. Of course, you heard about the big bet that Floyd Mayweather put up against for Michigan. He has a lot of confidence in the Wolverines to put up that much, though.
Now, I can't believe that's true. $3 million, supposedly?
Yeah. Well, he's got it. Now, we know that.
Did he bet on the money line, or did he bet take the points?
I'm assuming he took the points.
I hope he took the points. But now, and of course, I don't know if you heard the news that just came out a few minutes ago, but Hoke did suspend Fitz Toussaint and Frank Clark for the game, which is not a surprise to me at all. I really did feel like that was what he was going to do all along, but maybe he held off on the decision to, I don't know, to keep the players motivated in practice or to give Alabama, you know, a little bit of a head fake in the last day or whatever. But I think it was the right call to do as well. And not because I've heard a lot of people say, well, they're going to get killed anyhow, so you might as well go. Well, I'm sure that's not what they're thinking, because Toussaint has become a very good running back, and they definitely could have used him tomorrow.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah, cause that's why I was going to ask you about that. How much do you think they'll miss them or miss? What about Clark? Do you think he'll have any? Would he had an impact on the game if he had played?
He would have had an impact too. Absolutely. A kind of a playmaking defensive end. But again, I think Hoke had been indicating this in his comments the last week or two, if you read between the lines. So they've been preparing for this. This is not like at the last minute, oh my gosh, they're going down without two key guys. You know, and like I said, I do think if you're going to tout the things that Brady Hoke touts, I think this is what he did have to do in this case. He did say it is just one game. I mean, that's one huge game, but they would be back for Air Force the following week, which, you know, I think that's a fair punishment.
Yeah. Hey, you know, this is traditionally in these opening games in the first couple of weeks, it's always the MAC versus the Big Ten. And today and tomorrow, we've got Miami of Ohio going against Ohio State. You've got Penn State going against University of Ohio. And you've got Iowa going against Northern Illinois. Can any of those teams win a game?
Yeah. Well, watch out for Northern Illinois, and as far as the Big Ten, I know it's not in the MAC, but call me a college football slappy, Earl, but I was up watching that Minnesota-UNLV game go to three overtimes.
I wish I had saw it.
Yeah, last night Minnesota pulled it out, but they looked very shaky because UNLV is not any good at all, supposedly. But yeah, it is kind of a shame, to be honest, that it's up to Michigan and Michigan State to have the gigantic opening weekend games and everybody else gets to slog around. But that said, you can't even say playing MAC teams is necessarily slogging around anymore. I mean, look at some of those.
The MAC is pretty good. I'm really worried about – I forgot to tell you one. I'm really worried about this Western Michigan playing Illinois tomorrow. That's going to be – that should be a good game. A lot of people – I believe Western is favored to win that game.
Yeah, well, believe me, Western Michigan and, like I said, Northern Illinois, and who knows? But what about Ohio going in to play Penn State?
Playing Penn State, yeah. That's going to be a good one. It should be.
That's going to be a bizarre set of emotions.
Yes.
But some people think Ohio has a chance to pull off that victory. And how can you dispute it the way things have gone?
Exactly. And Frank Solich is such a good coach at Ohio. You know, it's hard to go against him, who used to coach at Nebraska. So that could be a very good, a very tough game for Penn State and the new coach.
Absolutely. I'm interested to see how Penn State handle things emotionally as the season. It's going to be a rough season, rough several seasons, but right out of the box, there's some people thinking they're going to get upset tomorrow. I don't think they will. I think they'll handle Ohio.
Yeah, I think they'll handle them too. Hey, we got a caller on the line for you. We got Victor on the line. Victor, how you doing?
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. How you doing, Earl?
Okay. Got a question for us, Victor?
Well, you know, I don't care whether it's college or pro. You know, field position is so important, and I don't care what level you play at. And, you know, like Michigan State, you know, if they can get good field position, you know, like good punt returns and stuff like that, and it's the same with the Lions and the same with Michigan. You know, field position, it's all about, you know, create a short field and, you know, score points early, and that way you eliminate the trick plays.
Well, that's what everybody would want, but of course, you know, it doesn't always work that way. But,
no, it doesn't always work that way, but I'm just saying a lot of teams don't think on that level.
Earl, that's a great point from this standpoint. One of the kind of under the radar losses that Michigan State suffered was Keyshawn Martin, and I think that's a dynamic player. And we don't, you know about a lot of the younger Michigan State receivers right now, but he was a field changer in that regard. And again, I think Michigan State can handle Boise State tonight, just hammering them with Le'Veon Bell and with their offensive line. But the big play, big game-changing play, who is going to make that for Michigan State's offense?
Well, I think that'll be Nick Bell's pretty good.
Just like with the Lions, okay? I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. You guys got a great show, and thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Nick Bell would be a good return man. You know, he was good on the kickoffs last year. He's going to be taking over the punt returns, too. So you have Nick Bell out there on kickoffs and punts, and hopefully he can still do what he did last year. He ran some good kicks back last year, and hopefully he can do the same thing with punts and give State some good field position.
Right, and in some ways, Michigan and State is, at least I think this season, going to be looking a lot, I think, like those really good Ohio State teams where it's running the ball, play defense, play the field position game, unless Andrew Maxwell just busts out of the box and and I know there are very glowing reports about him as being almost as good as Kirk Cousins already, but I don't know if D'Antonio would trust him totally to open it up right out of the box, so I think they'll just hammer away, and I think that'll be enough against Boise.
Yeah, I hope so, because let's face it, we know that Boise State has some very good cornerbacks. So if they can force Michigan State into some passing downs, this could be an interesting game, making Boise State cover as well as they can. Supposedly they've got two very good cornerbacks, and might make it bad for Michigan State's corners.
Yeah, there's I haven't seen too many people picking Boise State necessarily to win this game, but a lot of people, and rightfully so, the respect for Chris Peterson, he's what, 73-6 at Boise State. I just think it's a different environment in a night game on a Friday night in the Spartan Stadium with the highest ranked Michigan State team in the preseason since what, 1979. I just gotta believe D'Antonio will have them as ready as ever tonight.
Okay. Hey, well, before I let you go, let me ask you about the one coach we haven't talked about entering the league, Urban Meyer, first year at Ohio State. What do you expect from him?
I expect he'll be very good in a short window. I, you know, he'll recruit very well, obviously. He'll take no prisoners. I think those are all code phrases I'm using for a guy that will. I think he's exactly what Ohio State wants. I mean, he's, to me, just kind of a dressed-up version of Jim Tressel. But I do wonder if he's going to, what his shelf life is. How many, I mean, there's just been too many instances. And then to his credit, if he has health and family issues, yeah. He does step away. But I wonder if that would be the case again down the road, because Florida is high pressure.
Yep.
Ohio State is high pressure. And I'll be interested to see how he reacts to it. He gets to kind of ease into it this year because he has a really good team, but he doesn't have to worry about winning the Big Ten or going to a bowl game because they're ineligible. Down the road, I think he'll be a monster down there in Columbus.
Yeah, because...
In a good way for Ohio State fans.
Yeah, because if they learn and adapt to his system and that spread offense that he likes to run, that could be very dangerous. I mean, for a while, as you know, for a few years there, the offense was in vogue here in the Big Ten. People are getting away from it now, so you don't have that many spread teams. But
people that say the Urban Meyer legend has been pretty much built all around Tim Tebow, and that's how he won big for years at Florida, and he did sort of leave the cupboard bare there at Florida when he left. So we'll see. He'll recruit fine at Ohio State. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
That's true. True. Well, Bob, hey, let me tell you, the people out here, they want you to get us a win for the Tigers tonight. They say they'll take care of Michigan State. You take care of the Tigers for them.
You know what? I will try my best with Doug Fister back on the mound after missing a start. It's going to be an interesting one, I
guess. It should. Hey, Bob, thanks for joining me, my friend. I'll talk to you later on, buddy.
All right, Earl. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Bob Winowski from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2:00 right here on WKAR. Yes, it looks like Floyd Mayweather made a $3 million bet, and of course he took the points. He'd be crazy not to take the points. And he took the points, they're telling us, and we'll see if he can cover. I mean, I know a lot of people are betting that game. I probably don't have a lot of $3 million bets in Vegas, but we know he puts them down, and he likes his Michigan Wolverines. So he's going to see if he can either win, double that up, or it's going to be interesting to see how that game turns out if he covers the spread. I mean, it's 14-point spread, and can he cover it? Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2:00 right here on WKAR. And Aaron, you haven't been here too many times this week, so give us your thoughts on the game tonight. Does Michigan State win? Do they cover the 7-point spread? That'll put that kind of pressure on you.
Well, I don't know if it's so much pressure on me, but I think they, assuming all phases of the game go good, they don't have to go great. As long as I think if they go good, they should be fine. I think they can cover that 7-point spread pretty easily. Frankly, I think they can do better than that. But first game of the season, at the beginning, there's probably going to be some, the guys are going to be really amped up. There's going to be a lot of energy. But, after a few snaps, a couple plays, calm down a little bit. They can start thinking, through the game a little bit better. But like we said earlier, I mean, I don't know what Boise State's going to bring to the table. I mean, there's too many. Like you said, there's too many unknowns. You don't really know what, they're not the same team they used to be in the past, but, they got a good program, and you never know what could happen with a good program. And I'm looking forward to the game tonight, but I expect Michigan State to pull it out. And, whether it's by 3 points or 20 points, a win's a win.
Yep, that's true. I think Michigan State can win in two, but on the other side of that, we know Boise State has two very good cornerbacks. That's all they had coming back from that defense last year was two corners. So if those two corners are as good as people say they are, they could, and if they can force Michigan State into some obvious passing situations, it'll be interesting to see how Andrew Maxwell handles that because they say that Boise has two very good corners, maybe the second best two in the country next to Michigan State. So it'd be interesting to see how they handle it and how they handle it if Boise can force Michigan State into passing situations, and that'll give them a chance to test out Andrew Maxwell.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But to counter that, I would even say that, I mean, if that's the case, if you know they got two good cornerbacks, well, run the ball quite a bit.
And then
throw some play action at them, and then that'll make the cornerbacks bite a little bit. Boom, you go over top. So, whether we see that, we'll have to wait and see. But, Michigan State's are very good at, changing things up a little bit, running reverses, keeping the defense honest. So I expect Michigan State to fully do that in the first game, especially versus Boise State, since Boise State is pretty good at that.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yep, at that themselves. So, yeah, I mean, I think Michigan State's staff is obviously very, very good at, learning the defenses and running the right plays at the right times.
Yes, it should be an exciting night game tonight, and everybody's looking forward to it. There'll be a ton of fans over there. And that's the thing I've had to get used to, Aaron, because when it first started happening, it surprised me quite a bit. There's so many people that go over to the stadium and tailgate and don't go to the game. I used to wonder, how can you just go tailgate and not go to the game? I had so many people telling me, said, hey, you just want to be a part of the atmosphere, be a part of it. But I can't get my arms around. I can't put myself around it of not going. If I'm going to a stadium, I got to go to the game.
I agree with you there, but I've walked around when there's been tailgaters and stuff, and, a lot of them were just hanging out. People that, this is the only time they can get together, friends get together for the season, and, they have a good time. They listen to it on the radio. Some bring a TV and a dish, and they throw it up on a big TV and have a good time.
I see that, and I just say, now, I don't know why I can't get around it. I should be able to. I mean, I have nothing against people having fun or anything, but I look at the folks out there and say, well, maybe one of these days, maybe when I retire, that'll be something that I can do. Maybe I'll just be able to go over to a game. Maybe I can just go over to a tailgate and sit out here with Don and Don with DeWitt. Because, Don, I know you go to most of the games, but maybe there's a couple of games you don't go to and just go to tailgate.
Never. I love my tailgate crowd, and we do it upright, but the football game is the thing, and my God, Spartan football is finally here, and I'm stoked.
Yes, it is. It is. I'm ready.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, these night games, it's a great atmosphere, and I'm really looking forward to the new scoreboards and all that, but waiting is just killing me, Earl.
Yes, well, I drove by them last night after I left the high school football game. I drove by them, and they were up, and they were it looked good in that outdoor atmosphere when I was coming back from the high school game last night. It was very impressive.
It's going to be incredible tonight, Earl. Man, I just can't wait. Going to be a tough game, no doubt. Boise, even though they're replacing a lot of starters, has become one of those programs that just kind of reloads as far as their system is that good. They do have the advantage of only really having to get up for 3-4 games a year tops in that regard. So that's what some of their success is predicated on. And unlike some other squads that they have taken down, the Spartans aren't going to be caught looking past them.
Right. That's for sure.
But, hey, Earl, I'm betting you've probably only got half the amount of action out there this weekend that Floyd does.
I might not have that much out there.
Oh, man. But a couple things, Earl. Obviously, Spartan football. I think the O-line should be improved enough that this is the best O-line of the D'Antonio era. And
yes,
being able to run the ball will allow Maxwell and the receivers time to get their feet wet. They don't need to be great from the get-go. They just need to be decent. to keep 7-8 guys out of the box, out of the front, but keep the safeties from creeping up. But it's the defense should be something. I am just so stoked at the thought of that, and coming off back-to-back 11-win seasons. I know you've mentioned you didn't think MSU would ever beat Michigan more than twice in a row, if that, and now it's up to four times, and back-to-back 11-win seasons, and probably the deepest roster you and I can remember.
Exactly.
It's just a new era of Spartan football, and while I have no doubt that the squad down the road will be good again, I mean, they've got too much cachet with the brand name and the facilities and the support not to. One thing Michigan fans got to realize is that MSU isn't going away this time.
Yep, I believe that's true. Hey, Don, thanks a lot, buddy. We're going to go to Jack and Drew coming up next.
Oh, nobody better. Okay. Jack's book is great.
Yes, it is. Okay, bye-bye. And the time is 1:30. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing.
Nearly 8,000 bridges across America are in dire need of repair. But do we have the political will and the money to fix them? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the dangerous bridge near you. Plus, meet your ancient relatives, the Denisovans. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday on Talk of the Nation, coming up at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Scott Pohl. Good afternoon. Today will be sunny and windy, and the high will be 90 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, look for a low of 62. Saturday, a high of 81 and mostly sunny. The high staying in the low 80s Sunday, mostly sunny again, but with a slight chance of some rain.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Well, let's go to our guest lines and bring in our good friends, Drew Sharp and Jack Ebling. Drew, how you doing, my man?
How's how you doing today?
Hey, doing okay. Let me bring in Jack here with us. Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Earl. I thought that Don made some very good points in that last call. It's not that Michigan isn't going to be good again. We don't know how good this year. But I think Michigan State, the days of 3-9 season are over.
Yeah, I do too. We haven't seen one of those in a long time. I don't think we'll see those any time to come. And you know what's really good, Jack, is we've heard coaches, and I know Don and I talked about this a while back, but you know we've always heard coaches want to be here. They're going to stay here. Well, I think Mark is really going to stay here for a while. I mean, I know he's got me convinced that he's going to be around for a while. He's not going to be Nick or some of the other coaches who just are here for it's just a way stop for them. And, it's good to have a coach that, you know, you feel comfortable with that is definitely going to be around here for a while.
Basketball, mm-hmm. where we've had the Heathcote Izzo era since 1976.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had that, and we haven't had anything like that. George was around for a good while, but you know, we really haven't had that stay in football and by someone who really wants to be here. And that's the thing, Mark really wanted to be here. He made that clear when he first hired it, that he wasn't just here as a stop, but he really wanted to be at Michigan State.
Well, George was here for 12 years.
Yeah.
The problem was that for the last six of those, no one knew if he wanted to be here, and there were constant flirtation, so it was difficult to get continuity. And then, of course, when the administration and the athletic department got crossways, then it messed a lot of things up.
Okay, well, let's bring in Drew again, because I had him in once. I got you right this time, Drew.
Yeah, he figures. Yeah, he's been doing this show for 80 years. He still doesn't know how to work a damn phone. Yeah,
It takes some time.
Are you retiring tomorrow? Hopefully?
No, I'll be here for a few more months.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
You got to put up with me for a few more months.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, boy, I was looking at this Big Ten schedule, and, this time of year, these first few weeks, we'll play every team in the MAC will probably be played for sure. And we've got some interesting games with MAC teams coming up in this first week. And we'll go over the whole schedule. But Wisconsin playing Northern Iowa. I think we all got to go with Wisconsin.
Take Wisconsin.
Yep. Purdue over Eastern Kentucky. That's another small team. Purdue should win this one. This is Jack's team, so I'll go with Purdue because Jack says that's a good team.
So, well, I'm glad you went with UNLV last night, Earl.
Yeah, I already know you did. I mean, me and Drew know, we've talked about that already. We know that you wanted UNLV.
That's all right. I should give you a spot. Drew and I should actually give you maybe a little handicap, one game advantage or something.
We gave him that the last few years. That's why he won.
You should probably give me a 10-game advantage.
Yeah.
And how about Miami of Ohio going up against Ohio State? Boy, that's a tough opener for Ohio State, and it'll be interesting to see. I know everyone's curious. I talked with Bob Winowski about this game, and Ohio State going up against Miami, and Urban Meyer's first game is the Buckeyes head coach. So what do you guys think about this one, about Ohio State and their
team? They're going to win that game.
I
don't think it's going to be a blowout like the odds might suggest, but I still think it's going to be a victory for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Ohio State will be fine in that game. There'll be a lot of emotion, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State blew that game open.
Well, here I'm going to give you guys one, because here's one that you can have, guys. I'm going to reluctantly take Northwestern over Syracuse, but I know you guys will probably take Syracuse and pin that first loss on me.
I'd probably take Northwestern. I'm not a big fan of Syracuse.
Okay.
I'm a big King Coulter fan. I like Northwestern in that game.
Yeah, okay. Well, how about Nebraska over Southern Miss? That might be a little bit closer. Maybe not too close, but Southern Miss should have a pretty good team fielding against Nebraska.
Nope. Gonna be Nebraska.
Okay.
Southern Miss actually is a good team. That's an 11-win team last year.
Yeah, they have a lot of speed.
Yeah, playing there, playing in Lincoln, I'm going to take Nebraska.
Okay. Well, then how about Northern Illinois playing Iowa at Chicago? That could be an interesting game.
Can't you get any better games than this?
Yeah.
It's the first week of the season. It's hard to get good games the first week of the season.
No, I mean, again, Iowa's going to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yep. Well, how about this one? I know you guys are going to fight over this one. Indiana and in Indiana State. Indiana
Keep
State.
Keep going.
You mean you guys are going to take Indiana? You're going to take a team that I thought could be a dark horse this year?
Well, Indiana only won one game last year. This might be their one victory for this season.
Dark horse for what?
In the Big Ten, they might win three games this year.
They could be a dark horse for the seventh race at Churchill Downs.
Well, okay, I'm going to give you a powerhouse, because we know this is a legitimate game where the team that can lose could be Illinois. Western Michigan playing Illinois. So are you guys going to go with the Big Ten, or are you going to take the Big Mac?
I'm still going to take Illinois in this one. Western's got a pretty good team this year.
They do.
Yeah. Got a pretty good team, but it's the new coach coming in again for Illinois. I think they'll do well. They'll win this game.
I think this is the Big Ten's second most likely loss. I'm going to take Illinois by a field goal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you guys one. I'll give you one. I'll take Western Illinois in this game.
It's not really a bad Michigan. Not a bad pick.
This is typical Earl, Drew. We've got Illinois hosting Western Michigan, and he takes Western Illinois.
Well, yeah. I'll take Western Michigan in this one.
Let's hold to that one. He's going to take the Western Illinois. You got the Badgers or Beavers, whatever they're called, for the rest of the season.
Well, we know we've got the two biggies coming up today and tomorrow, Michigan, Alabama. I assume you guys will probably pick Michigan, since you're both homers. So I guess you'll take Michigan over Alabama.
Let's see. Well, they just announced a little while ago that the players are going to be suspended for that game.
Yep.
Which was a no-brainer. They had to make that call. But Alabama is going to win the game. I don't think it's going to be the blowout that people think.
Yeah.
If you're Michigan, you know, you really are playing with nothing to lose.
That's
right
true.
Now. So you should be very loose. And I think that Alabama is going to be much better team, their defense, especially in November, than they are right now. So from that standpoint, Michigan has a chance to make it close. But Alabama, with their offensive line against Michigan's defensive front, that's the biggest edge right there. Alabama wins, but I think it's only going to be back to 10 points.
Yep, I agree with you. I have to go with Alabama as well. I assume you're going with Alabama too, Jack.
I am. I said 30-21 the other day. I think Michigan will keep it close for most of the game and get worn down. And I think Denard will make a mistake somewhere that will really hurt Michigan. But now with the guys out, I might change to 30-17. Mm-hmm. I still think Michigan will cover.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you, the other game, the big game here, Michigan State, Boise State, I must admit I am nervous about this game because Boise State has so many unknowns. We just don't know that much about Boise State. How good are the players coming in? We know they recruit pretty well. We know they've got a pretty good amount of speed, but we just don't know how good they are. So should I be worried about this Boise State game and this Boise State team?
Should be worried about them?
Yeah, well, should I be worried about them?
We'll know what kind of program they are with how they play this evening's game because I believe they're only returning three or four starters from last year's
right.
game, and they're without their quarterback. You know, I mean, so they shouldn't be. They should not be the same type of team that's averaged, you know, double-digit victories the last two or three years. But if Chris Peterson has built the type of program that a lot of people say he has, then there shouldn't be a significant drop-off. And in that respect, you know, I think this is going to be a very close game. I think Michigan State wins this game by a field goal.
And, Jack, how do you see it?
Well, I think it's going to be a close game. And I think that the style you're going to see from Boise State means everything. A lot of quick drops, quick passes, very, very difficult for the pass rush to get to the quarterback, Joe Southwick. I also think that they're going to put eight in the box and make Andrew Maxwell throw. And he's going to have to hit some passes for the running game to open up. But I think eventually, with nine new starters on defense, Michigan State wears them down and wins 27-17.
Yeah, that's the thing with me, too, Jack. I mean, Andrew Maxwell is going to have to complete some passes because, you know, everything we read and say, they've got Boise State has two very good cornerbacks, and that should certainly put Michigan State to the test.
Yeah, I just think Michigan State's running game with Le'Veon Bell and the ability to dump the ball off to Deion Sims is going to be enough. And eventually Andrew Maxwell is going to be a very good quarterback, but, you know, everybody has to start somewhere. And you remember what your first game was like or your first broadcast. You think you know what's going on, but until you're actually there, it's a little bit different.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, hold on for a minute, guys. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Want to meet the brains behind bones? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a talk with forensic anthropologist, writer, and TV producer Kathy Reichs. Plus, astronomers spot planets around a pair of suns and what the Apple victory over Samsung means to you. It's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday on Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A windy day today, sunny, the high 90 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 62. Mostly sunny and a high of 81 on Saturday. Looking ahead to Sunday, mostly sunny with a slight chance of some showers. Sunday's high will be 82 degrees. I'm Scott Pohl.
Give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And Jack and I were at a pretty good high school game last night. We know that Drew, you know, he doesn't go to high school games anymore. He's so big time, you know, he doesn't go to high school games. But you and I, we still go to a high school game every now and then. And we saw a pretty good one last night, Lansing Everett taking down, DeWitt last night. So we saw a good game last night. Maybe one day we'll have to cuff him and handcuff him, and maybe we can get Drew to go to a high school game.
Maybe he could see his beloved Catholic Central Shamrocks, but you can't expect Drew to go to a high school game last night. He was probably at home in front of the set watching his beloved Detroit Lions.
Yes,
did he play last night?
Oh, you know you love those Lions.
I was watching the Tiger game and wondering, why the hell was Miguel Cabrera running at full speed on that last out, you know?
And wondering, why weren't you watching the Lions game, a more exciting game, to watch another Tiger loss, another losing game? Three in a row to Kansas City.
The loss meant something. This is preseason, my friend. Victories or losses mean nothing in preseason. As long as the starters get out of the game healthy, that's all that matters.
Okay. Well, we know you're going to change your tune next week when that first game comes up against St. Louis. And we know St. Louis, Mr. Bradford looked really good last night, so you better watch out for St. Louis.
Again, last game of the preseason. Who cares? Are they all healthy after the game? If they are, then fine. It was a successful game. Outside from that, you take nothing out of it.
Well, you can't even convince yourself with these things you're saying anymore.
He can't even believe it. He can't even believe it in his own self.
It's hard. They are hard to believe, but hey, they play them, and it means something to those guys who are trying to make those last two or three spots on the roster there. You're trying to be 50 player 51, 52, or 53. You're going to be playing your heart out.
No, that's fine. These guys are trying to get a spot at the end of the football roster. That's great. That's fine. But on the bigger picture, there's nothing that you can glean out of that can make you think that okay, I got a pretty good indication of where the Lions or the Rams or any team really might be at this point.
Okay. Hey guys, we got a couple of callers on the line, so let's take them. Mr. Tate, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, Mr. Robinson?
Okay.
Good to hear from you. Thank you for taking my call, man. You're going to be down there at the game tonight down at Spartan Stadium tonight?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good deal, man. Maybe I'll get a chance to catch up with you. I got some media credentials. I'm in town from Atlanta. I know I've called and told you before, man, so I'm really excited. I'm pumped about this game. Know a little bit about DJ Harper, the starting running back from Boise State and whatnot. Like I told you, I predict us to go ahead and get that win 31 to 21, but I think that this is going to be a magnificent season for Michigan State. I know we've got some question marks at quarterback and a couple on the offensive end. I know that they're really looking excited for Fowler to go ahead and have a pretty good game as a receiver. I think as far as tomorrow's game goes with that Michigan game, as much of a Spartan fan as I am, I hate to talk about those Wolverines. I think they eventually need to go ahead and lose to Alabama tomorrow, even though they've got some question marks. I think they lose tomorrow to Alabama, and then probably, as much as I hate to say it, it's a good chance that Michigan might go ahead after a loss tomorrow and go ahead and run the table throughout the rest of the season, still barely miss the national championship game. But I'll tell you one thing, that running back, if he's 100% healthy, which I believe that he should be by now from last name Lacey from Alabama, he's definitely in the mode of possibly could be better than the running back Richardson that they had prior to that. Remember Richardson, he was one of those guys who he runs and he was backing up Mark Ingram that was here for a local kid from Flint. He was backing him up and people couldn't imagine someone being just as good or maybe better than Ingram, in which Richardson was. I think that Lacey is in that same type of situation, maybe a better back than Richardson. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'll keep on listening. I'll see you down there at Spartan Stadium tonight.
Okay, thank you. We'll see you later, Mr. Tate. Hey, Jack, maybe one of these days, we can only dream, maybe we'll have that Drew Sharp money. I mean, Drew had, like Floyd Mayweather, he probably put a $3 million bet on his Wolverines. I know we're not in Drew's category, but, we can hope that one day we'll have a few million dollars to lay down on a bet.
Hey, Earl, when Earl retires, he'll be working for me in some capacity.
Earl, have you had your drug test today yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. But, what the guy was saying about the running back from Alabama.
Yeah.
No, there are a couple backs in there. I mean, are they going to be as exciting as Richardson? We don't know. But that offensive line, I guess they've lost one of their top offensive line guards for the rest of the season with a knee injury. But still, they might have the best offensive line in college football. Michigan's biggest weakness, positional weakness, is the defensive line.
Yeah,
and they're replacing three quality guys from a year ago, and they're going to have to rely on some inexperience to try and fill those holes. Now, what they've done is, if I understand, they've put two nose tackles together for the most part in an effort to try and bulk up that line, because I think they're concerned that Alabama's just going to be content to just run the ball right down their throats, and that's going to determine the game. If Alabama, and Jack, you said this earlier, Alabama is going to be more physical than Michigan, and it's just a matter of time before you figure they would just wear them down.
Yes, and Jack, I know you and I talked about how Michigan that Michigan off line is they just don't have much depth. They're like Michigan State used to be 3 to 4 years ago. They've got a lot of sophomores, freshmen in the backup roles, and if they have any injuries, that could bode well for. Bode good for Alabama, but it'll bode well for or not too well for Michigan.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And Michigan is going to have some adjustment with the new lines and some of the cohesion that they have there. Obviously, Denard can make plays, and he'll make a play at some point in this game Saturday night. I just don't think he'll make enough of them.
Okay. Got one more caller on the line. Let's go to Ron out in Bellevue. Ron, how you doing?
I'm great. Hi, Jack. It's Flagot.
Hey, how you doing, Flat?
Hey, got a couple questions for you. Wanted to know if you think that, Darquez Denard and Bulla made us forget Eric Gordon and Greg Jones, if the new receivers are going to replace the old receivers as smoothly. And what are your thoughts about the comparison between Boise State and Central Michigan? I understand they both became Division I teams at the same time.
Yeah, very good questions. I don't think that the new receivers will make you forget B.J. Cunningham anytime soon, although Benny Fowler is poised to have a breakout year, and some of the other guys will be a little bit better than we think. Keyshawn Martin, when he was healthy, was a very dangerous weapon. I also think there's a difference in blocking ability out on the flanks, and you're able to get some long runs that way. As far as Boise State and Central Michigan, that's a great parallel, the way they play the game. If you remember the 2009 game when Dan LeFever drove Michigan State crazy, and then they got a couple of breaks at the end of the game with a penalty and an onside kick and wound up winning it, I think that that's the kind of game Boise would want to play. It is a similarity in terms of them being relative newcomers to big-time college football. Boise State wasn't a four-year school until 1968.
1968? They were even a school?
Or a four-year school, yeah.
But it is the third winningest school in the NCAA in terms of winning percentage, and the winningest in the last 15 years by 10 full games. So it isn't just a Kellen Moore product. If you remember, when Dan Hawkins was a coach before Peterson got there, and they beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. So this is not just something that's happened the last 4 or 5 years. This has been going on for a while out there.
They were both competing, Central and Boise State, for the Division II title when they went back ages ago. And can you comment on why Central hasn't been able to be as competitive as a Boise State has?
Well, I don't think that's anything wrong or dysfunctional with Central. I think Central has done about what we've expected and has been in bowl games, but Boise State is a miraculous story. It's kind of Florida State without the population base. If you remember what Florida State was like in the 40s and 50s, it basically was nothing factor. And then suddenly came onto the scene in the 1950s, and Boise's done it 40 years later.
Yes,
Boise can be that type of program. I mean, look where they're getting their players. They're from California for the most part.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Idaho is not really a hotbed for high school football talent. So they're channeling that talent in through back channels, if you will.
Yes.
So that's but you know, this will be a testament how they do this season, and this and they've become known for being unafraid to go on the road in a tough environment to start the season. And they've been very successful with that. Again, would it surprise me if they beat Michigan State tonight? No, it wouldn't surprise me. But I do think, though, that it's going to be hard for them to repeat the success we've seen from them in the past 2 years because they've just had a lot of turnover.
Yes, they have. Well, we got one more caller for you. Let's go out here to Jerry in Heslet. Jerry, how you doing?
I'm doing, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to confirm my status as you know, late in the show caller and Jack Ebling's stalker. Jack, I do agree with you on the strategy tonight. I think a lot of us can see that you know, Boise is going to try and stack up as much as they can and force Maxwell to, you know, maybe show a little bit more than you'd normally show in an opening game. But certainly, I also think that Larry Caper is going to be huge. Not only is his backup, Bell might get dinged up. Both those guys, if I'm not mistaken, are the most experienced returning receivers we have, are they not?
Yep.
I think the Larry Caper point is a very good one, mm-hmm. Jared. I think you're going to see him have a great year. He's a change of pace back from Le'Veon Bell, but people forget as a freshman, he was ahead of Edwin Baker.
Yeah,
his job. He's the one who scored the overtime touchdown against Michigan, and he was really a first team back as a freshman.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean it speaks to how much depth they've had on that team, on that roster, that he can step in and fill this void. Cause I think this team is better off without Baker in the backfield. He came into this season a year ago with envisioning perhaps a 2,000-yard season and a first-round slot in the NFL draft, and he had problems. And he pouted on the sidelines at times, and it created some issues with that team. So I think they're better off having a Larry Caper who, again, like a lot of these guys in this program, wasn't playing and quietly bit his tongue and waited. He waited for his time to show up, and now it's here. He's a senior, correct?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, he is, and you know, good hands too. You know, not as risky.
He can help Maxwell out of the backfield a lot. If he's in trouble, you know, you dump off a pass as a safety valve. He might be able to, like I said, you know, he got the touchdown off a pass against U of M a couple of years ago in East Lansing, but he might be able to really fill a viable role with this team.
Yeah, I think so too. One last quick question, guys: if Michigan State wins the toss tonight, should they take the ball or should they defer?
You want that defense on the field as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the show, Earl.
Okay.
And you know, don't retire soon, otherwise, you know, guys like Ebling will be sniffing around.
Yeah, he will be. Hey, thanks a lot, Jerry.
Earl can't retire, or these young guys like Ebling will be hanging around.
That's right. There's a generation difference there.
Yeah, I have to keep listening to Jack talk about how young he is, how much he's going to – yeah.
Earl, compared to you, we're all are young. We all are young.
You know, speaking of being young, isn't East Lansing a different place with the students back? I was over on Grand River the other day.
Yes.
And it just has an entirely different energy. We're going to be over there from 3 to 5 at the student bookstore today for a signing. And it's just an amazing place, the vibrancy of a college campus when it comes alive.
It does, that's for sure. And, Drew, hey, we'll see you at the game tonight, won't we, buddy?
I'll be there.
Okay, so we'll see you tonight. See both of you guys tonight.
Right, see you later.
Okay, see you later. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Drew Sharp and Jack Ebling talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Aaron, good to talk with you today, and I'll see you whenever you show up next week sometime.
Yep, I'll be back on Monday.
Okay. And once again, remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We want you to have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. Hopefully, if I'll see you at the game tonight, just come up and say hi to me or wave at me or whatever. Come up and chat with me. Hopefully, we'll see you at the game tonight. So have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and we'll see you here on Monday on WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.